I shalom aleichem. Well, I'm not going to give out mar makomos tonight because that would require my preparing them. I mean, as it were, formally on a page. And it's been a very busy week, and tomorrow I'm baking matzahs, so this is not happening. So we're going to have our shir mitzvah shem, which I think is a very important one, and we'll just do it without mar makomos. It is this week Parsha Shkalim, and I think some of the lessons of Parsha Shkalim, I dare say, are very much bound up with current events. There is an increasing sensation here in Eretz Israel that certain forces, primarily in the communications industry, also certain politicians, are trying to bring us back to the divisions of Tavshan Pei Gimel. We must fight this tendency really at all costs. There are problems. There are things that need to be solved. But when people don't really try to solve them, they just like to emphasize the issue, the differences between different Jews, in order to stir up machlokas. There's no other way to describe it. We must really fight that at all costs. The Vilna Gaon teaches us that at the end of days, there'll be a considerable leadership issues that we will obviously might haven't been led by Torah thought exclusively for many, many years, but so as we get closer to the end of days, this this problem will be exacerbated. Members of Klal Yisrael, who unfortunately are infected with a terrible virus called the virus of Machlokas, right? That's the way the Vilna Gaon describes the most difficult part, the most difficult subsection of the movers, shakers, leaders, directors, that includes the communications industry for sure. At the end of days, of all the issues that they may present, in other words, we're not talking about necessarily people who are following Torah ideals, but the most difficult one is what he refers to as the klipa of machlokas, the shell, the husk, the unhealthy husk of those who are seemed almost dedicated to generating divisions in our midst, and we must fight that. I'm not saying we're fighting it with baseball bats and guns and pepper spray. I'm not suggesting that. But we must, as it were, be committed. Our resolve must be very strong, not to be influenced, not to be pulled around by the nose by this wave of sewage. It is known that I heard once from Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh L'Vracha, that he once said about Rav Chaim Ozer. Rav Chaim Ozer was known to be particularly delicate of speech. He was incredibly careful of how he spoke, very careful of people's feelings, and just very, very refined in his speech. But what he had to say about the communications industry is really sort of, he compared them to the toilet bowl of the world. because of their commitment in many cases. I don't know if there are exceptions, that's a possibility, but generally there's a commitment to Lashon Hara, to Machlokas, to all sorts of negative things. And he was very clear about that. For Rav Chaim Ozer to make a point in such a fashion, such a strong fashion, I think we could rely upon him, that things haven't changed all that much in terms of the communications and history, if anything, if things have gotten worse. We are at the end of Adar Aleph, we're entering into Adar Beis, the month which we'll have within at Purim, right? This week is Parsha Shkolim, the first of the Dal Parshios, part of that Tahalich, part of that process that starts immediately prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar and continues until just prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Dal Parshios, the four Parshios. Chodesh Adar, right, really tells us a little bit of who we are. And in spite of the fact that we may have lost faith in ourselves, it really defines for us who we are. Haman, after all, thought that because his drawing of lots brought him to fall on the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's Patira, right? And he didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu's Patira is also the day that he was born. At first glance, that appears to be a big deal. But no, that's precisely the point. The day that he was Nifter is the day that he was born. Not just the day that he was born, he also happened to be the day that he was Nifter. The day he was Nifter is the day that he was born. Because even at the point that's furthest away from our birth was in Mitzrayim. It says in Yechezkel, we were born in Mitzrayim. That day, that time period, the furthest you can get from that in the year, if we start counting from Nisan, is Chodesh Adar. But nonetheless, even though we're very far from it, our essence is still seen in Chodesh Adar. And that's the story. Chazal tell us in the Medrash, goes through a whole list of the first time that certain events take place that defines that type of event. That's very unclear, but like let's say they describes in the Medrash the Rosh Labonim, the greatest builder is, for instance, Shlomo, built the base of Mikdash. Rosh Lamachrivim, the greatest word destroyer, the first, right, where is it? Five, the great destroyer is in the form of Nebuchadnezzar. Rosh Larotchim, the first, in this case, the first, what do you call it, killer, murderer, is Kayan. Rosh Nirtzachim is Hevel. And then the Medrash, among the long list of things, it mentions the Rosh Lamochrim is Achashverosh, and the Rosh Lakonim is Haman. And we hear this and we're stupefied. What do you mean? That's what typifies commerce? Selling a nation? With the rights now to obliterate, to annihilate the nation, that's the normal commerce. But what the Medrash is telling us is indeed, if the commerce is not linked to Torah values and Torah thought, then there's always, I'll make you an offer you can't resist. In this case over here, Haman offered the money to Achashverosh. Achashverosh said, okay. You can sell a nation, primarily the Jewish nation, to be annihilated. Rosh Lamochrim Lose Lakonim. We are. We are entering into an epic. I mean, we've already mentioned before that Amalek, Reb Chaim wanted to define that anybody who wishes to destroy Klal Yisrael is considered Amalek. Again, this is Rechaim Brisker's Chiddush, and his Diuk from the Rambam, that Amalek is not necessarily the biological descendants of the first Malek, but anybody who wishes to destroy Klal Yisrael gets the title of Amalek for that generation. And certainly, there have been times, 80 years ago, the Germans are Amalek, certainly according to that definition. And now, to a large extent, some of those in what he called in the Middle East, and even those in other places, what he called the Muslim world, which is to destroy the Jewish people. So they get the title of Amalek. That's not going to necessarily make it possible for us to, what he called, to destroy them, and I don't think we should even try and do that. I don't think that's what he called. That's not our role right now, but certainly those around us over here, and some of those who are perpetrating these crimes, certainly in the case of the Hamas, and the Hezbollah, who are very intent on killing as many Jews as possible. They'd love to destroy us, Iran. They'd love to destroy us. They'd love to destroy us. So they have been Zocha. They've been Zocha to the title of Amalek for our generation. In the battle with Amalek, it's an interesting thing. Haman is the descendant, right? He's Haman ben Hamdasa Agagi, because he's a descendant of Agag. Agag was the king of Amalek. He was kept alive by Shaul HaMelech when he should have been killed. And that night he had a union with a shivcha, with a maidservant, and from that union came eventually Haman. Haman descended from that. In the case of Haman, Chazal say, "Lace the Yoda Lishna Bisha." There's no one who knew Lashon Hara better than Haman, right? No one knew Lashon Hara better than Haman. How so? So he said that Yeshno Amachad Mefuzar Mefurad Ben Amim. He said to Achashverosh. You have in your midst a nation that is scattered. Mefuzar Mefurad Ben Amim. But Chazal pick up on the terminology here, and they say Yeshno Amachad. Yashnu mina mitzos, that's what Chazal said. Yashnu mitzos, they're asleep from the mitzos. In other words, Haman, right? It's such an interesting thing. Haman's not an atheist in that sense. He's addressing a spiritual flaw in the Jewish people. He's not denying that there is a prime mover, whatever, but that prime mover he's not interested in us. He's not involved with us. We're too puny for that. And if there were ever something called the experiment called the Jewish people, they maintain that you are to have a dynamic relationship with the Creator 24/7 from the time you get up until the time you go to sleep, from the time that you become aware of yourself until the time that they put you on the ground, that's a wasted effort. It's a wasted effort. You know, these Jews, they claim that they're so superior, that they're in this constant tête-à-tête conversation and relationship with the Almighty. It's not true. Yeshnu amachad, yashnu min ha-mitzot. You see, it's a failed experiment. Rav Tzadok HaKohen adds, Mefuzar mefirad min ha'amin. The Pasuk says, Mefuzar mefirad min ha'amin. Yashnu min ha'mitzvos yeshnu amachad. Mefuzar mefirad min ha'amin. There's pirud between the neshamos. They can't even care for one another. They have no connection to their Creator. They may even be walking the walk and talking the talk. But yashnu min ha'mitzvos is like dead wood. He's not just talking about those who are not observant. But they can be observant. But they're asleep. We're the walking dead. We're going through the motions. But we're not dynamically attached. Not dynamically attached. Yashnum and Amitzvus. And Ufuzar Mifarad Bin Amin. Division amongst us. There are those, hearkening back to our current events, who would like to water down our connection. They're dreadfully afraid by what they call this hadatah, right? This religious, wave in the army now. Soldiers of all different stripes, religious, non-religious, dancing to Lichadodi in Aza, before they are called there on Shabbos, wanting to say Kriya Shema, wanting to wear tzitzis, wanting to wear tefillin. The people are dreadfully afraid of that. And there are others who are so intent, usually two sides of the same coin, the same ones that are dreadfully afraid that we're going from some sort of religious renaissance. Believe me, I don't think anybody thinks that everybody's going to turn into a denizen of Mea Sharim here. It's just the religious renaissance that will actually be concerned with our Jewish heritage. This makes people nervous. We're actually going to trade in our progressive liberalism and humanism for something antiquated like Judaism, Yiddishkeit. I must be kidding. And as a methodology for that, they try to, accentuate the machlokes that exist between us. Do you hear it? Do you hear the story? Yeshno amachad. We should stay Yeshenim. Mifuzar mifurad. We should stay Mifuzar mifurad. This is the Amalek virus, right, that infects sometimes in the Jewish community, internally. We have Amalekim on the outside, who wish to destroy us physically, and we have to fight against them and destroy them before they, God forbid, are able to accomplish their plans for us. And then there are those who suffer from the Amalekim virus, inside, wanting to maintain Yeshno Am Echad, Yeshno Min HaMitzvos, Mefuzar Mufarad, there should be a period between us, between fellow Jews. That's the state of affairs that we're in now. But Chazal continue and they say, Galui V'yaduo, Gmar Megillah, Galui V'yaduo Lefnei Misha Amar V'haya Olam. It was well known before the one who said that the world be, Sha'asid Haman Lishkol Ashkalov, that Haman one day would pay out his Aseret Alafim Kikar Kesef, he'd pay out 10,000 talents of silver to Achashverosh for the rights to kill the Jewish people. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Makdim Shkolenu Lishkalov. He gave us the mitzvah of Machtis HaShekel. He gave us the mitzvah of Machtis HaShekel to launch a preemptive strike against Haman. This is the point. This is why Chazal tell us that before Rosh Chodesh Adar comes, we are mashmia. We make the announcement. As Rosh Chodesh Adar comes in, we are mashmia al ashkolim. We make the announcement. It's time to collect the machzios ha-shekel, the half-shekel coins. What are those half-shekel coins used for? They were used for the korbanos tzibur, for the public sacrifices, the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, the morning sacrifice, the afternoon sacrifice, which both are parallel to our chakras, to our mincha. These were korbanos that didn't belong to an individual. They didn't belong to every Jew. They belonged to the Jewish people as a whole. Korbanos Tzibur. And every year requires a new collection. And this new collection, right, starts at the very end of the year as we prepare to be reborn again in Pesach. Right? Like we said before, we were born in Mitzrayim. We are preparing already for that new birth. We're going to collect new monies for the Machtis HaShekel in order to buy the Korbanos. There'll be the Korbanos Tzibur. The Korbanos Tzibur. Remember those korbanos tzibur we talked about before, the idea of how the concept of mizbeach, Mizbeach is really, at first glance, appears to be a misnomer, because Zvicha is Shechita. The Mizbeach was not a place of Shechita. It's true, the Shechita did take place near the Mizbeach, but there were things that actually had to take place in the Mizbeach. The Zrikas Adam, right? Where the dam was sprinkled or applied, the Haktara, where the Korbanos were burned, that had to be on the Mizbeach, but the Zvicha, the Shechita wasn't there. I mean, you could do it, everybody called it, it would come back to be kosher, depending on what side of the Mizbeach you're on, depending on what type of Korban we're talking about. But certainly, you wouldn't associate Mizbeach per se with Zvicha. Maybe we should call it a Mikdara, a place where things are burned, a Mizrika, place where things are sprinkled. No. It's called a Mizbeach, and if I remember correctly, it's because the Chidah says, because there was one Korban that was meant to be sacrificed upon the Mizbeach, and his name was Yitzchak. Shechted on the Mizbeach. That was Yitzchak. So therefore, the Mizbeach represents that really we are saying that we belong to you, Hashem. But you don't want us to step into the fires. Yitzchak was willing to do that, and we are his descendants, we are his heirs. We continue his path, but you don't want us to step into the fire. Instead, you say that everything should rise up in a holy fire off the Mizbeach towards the Shemayim. The mineral kingdom from salt, in the form of salt, and all the Korbanos in the form of Mayim, the water during Sukkot, in Nisuk HaMayim, the vegetable kingdom, as it were, the flowering kingdom, the form of the flower offerings, F-L-O-U-R, right? The Tosachim, the libations, the wine, oil, the Nachos, as you said, the flower, the animal kingdom, the form of all the Korbanos, all presided over a man who's saying, really, I should step into the fire because I'm yours also, but you don't want me to do that, so there I symbolically send up that which I have dominion over. You gave me dominion over everything in creation, and I say that it's not mine, it's yours, O Creator, O Bon Shalom. So that's what the Machzis HaShekel is collected for. But the Mefarshim asks, what does it mean, a Machzis HaShekel? Why Machzis HaShekel? Why choose half a shekel? What's wrong with a shekel? Why half or a whole? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says the reason it's a half, because every Jew's got to know that his other half is a Machzis HaShekel of Eish, of fire, underneath the Kisei HaKavod. In other words, if a Jew is only living his life in a temporally based, the here and the now universe, it's all about the here and the now. You may be, you know, like I said, walking the walk and talking the talk, you know, on a religious level, but it's not the focal point. It's not the center upon which his life orbits. That's a problem. So therefore, the Machzis HaShekel, says the Or HaChaim, the person has to remember that he's not whole. The other half of himself is that half a shekel of Eish from underneath the Kisei HaKavod, where his soul comes from. On the other hand, the Malbim says that that the Machzis HaShekel represents that what a Jew should know, that he's not whole without another Jew. You hear that? To reconnect to our source, Tachas Kisei HaKavod, to reconnect to one another. This is the Jewish viewpoint that is opposed by the Amalek virus inside of us, who are so afraid that heaven forfend, right, that should be any more deepening of our roots, of our attachment to the Kisei HaKavod, and they're willing to throw under the bus the unity of the Jewish people. Let's talk about our differences. Let's scream about our differences. Let's, God forbid, hate each other because of our differences. Chas v'chalila. We mustn't allow the picture being painted by those politicians of division, by the news agencies that have got their own agenda for how they want to make and shape the Jewish people. We mustn't listen to them. Parshas Shkalim comes, we have to remember, Galui ve'adov, l'mi she'amar v'haya olam, she'asid haman lishkol ishkalav. Haman will be there with his value system. We have to launch our own internal communal preemptive strike of remembering that the Machzis Shekel represents that my other half is upstairs, like Yoruch HaMikdash, and the Machzis Shekel represents that my other half is by another Jew, like the Malbim says. We must learn that lesson. We mustn't forget it. The question be asked. How do we practically keep this alive in ourselves? So we know there's a lot of suffering going on now. Right? And I have a student whose cousin was dreadfully injured. I can't even describe the full extent of his injuries. It's just, it's too terrible to describe. Moshe Aron, Ben Liya Balaam, Shem Shev Rachmanis on him, Shev Rafur Shleima, Besok Shachul Yisrael, all the different types of cholim, all the different types of chayolim, the chatufim, those who have been kidnapped. It's an ace tzara. We have to think about those sorrows not to depress ourselves, but to broaden our scope. The story, I mentioned it before, I think Shlomo Carlebach made it actually sort of famous, but it precedes him by mucho many years. In other words, it's a famous Chassidish Maisa about Rav Yitzchak Mivorke. He was a Talmud Chover of the Kotzk, of Machmendel Mikotzk. And Rav Yitzchak was Nifter. And the Kotzk, right, obviously setting for him to lose his friend, but then the son of Yitzchak Mivorke came to the Kotzk, and the Kotzk asked him, he says, "Have you seen your father?" Obviously, since his patira, and he says, "No." He says, "I've seen him," as the story goes. And he said, "I'll tell you, I went to look for him upstairs. And I knew he was a great person. So first I check it out, you know, in the ol of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem, perhaps he's there. You know, there. I said, oh, maybe it's more chashuv than I even realized, right? Would look higher, and Gdolei Achronim wasn't there. It was Shonim, not there. What's the story? The Gaonim, the Avroim, the Tanoim, went to the Neviim. I can't find with my friend Yitzchak. Where could he be? And then finally I came to a field. There I met a person. Not a person. I met someone. Not a person. Met someone upstairs. I said to him, have you seen my friend Yitzchak Mivorke? Yes, of course, he's at the end of this field. So I went there, and there he is. He's standing there, next to a river. I say to him, Yitzchak, what are you doing here? Why are you standing at this river? Why aren't you sitting and learning? In the Ol of Rashi, in the Ol of Rambam. What are you doing here? He said to me, Nachmendel, you see this river? This is the river of tears. The river of tears. I can't leave the river of tears until it's dried up. We say at the end of every Leviathan, Mach Hashem Lakim Dima Koponim. Hashem will wipe away the tears, but until then, all the tsaras of the communities of Klal Yisrael, of the individuals, the pain, the suffering, the torment, the disappointments, all the tears are upstairs, rivers and rivers of blood and tears. Nothing is forgotten. We forget. We don't know what that means. There are lots of things we don't understand in our relationship with Hashem. We don't understand how we have Bechira, if he has total omniscience. How can we have free will? But we do. And by the same token also, right? How can he have Tsar? If there were no such thing as Tsar upstairs, and there's no such thing as Tsar downstairs. There's a concept of Tsar. Tsar of the Shechina. Chazal say in Sanhedrin, we've mentioned it before, it says when a person is executed for a capital crime, let's say, God forbid, he was over on Megade for Avodah Zarah, right? He cursed towards Shemayim or Avodah Zarah. He's executed and hung up just before twilight and immediately taken down. Why, says the Pasuk, you can't leave him there. It's a bizoyan. Kikila as Elohim talui. For the curse, God forbid, of Elohim is hanging there. And Chazal say in the Mishnah, what does it mean, Kilas Elohim, that when a person, be Israel, we're talking here about a Rasha, we're talking about a person who received warning, he says, I know what I'm doing is wrong, I'm going to do it anyway. He did it. The Edom testified against it. He was able to pass all of the cross-examination of the witnesses backwards and forwards, etc. And he actually was executed for being a wicked person. It didn't happen often, but it did. But here we're talking to me. He was wicked in a terrible way, and he was executed. It says the Mishnah, when an Adam be Yisrael's Betzar, be the Rosh, shh, he's an Adam be Yisrael. When he's Betzar, what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say? Kolani miroshi, kolani mizroi. My head is weak. Kaviyachol. It's an anthropomorphism of wisdom. Of course, Hashem has no head, he has no arm. It's kilu, my head. There's a weakness in what we refer to as a head, and a weakness in what we refer to as an arm. Right? The way those concepts are reflected in Shemayim. Just like Chazal teaches, that just as we wear tefillin, that has in it Shman, v'hayoyim Shamoa, just as we have that in our tefillin, in the Shal Yad, it's in one parsha, in the Shal Rosh, it's in four parshias, four different, what do you call sections, four different pieces of parchment in the four sections, and here it's all together in one long roll, one long parchment. So just as we wear tefillin, Kav Yochel, Mar says in Brachos, Hashem wears tefillin. What does it say in his tefillin? It talks about the greatness of the Jewish people. So when one Jew, a Rasha, is executed, Hashem says, my arm feels weak. That member of the Jewish people whose presence is on my arm, next to my heart, on my head. Meshech Chochma explains what that means. It means on the arm near the heart. It's near the heart, showing that all the Jews, right? All, there's all one parchment to show Hashem loves every Jew equally. And in the head, they're in different compartments because every Jew is not treated the same way because some are more attached, some are less attached. Just like they're in circus, we know, with Lulav, Chazal talk about the parallels that exist between the four meaning, the four species that we take on Sukkot, and the four different types of Jews. Those who are excellent in Torah and Mitzvot, those who are excellent in Torah and less in Mitzvot, those who are excellent in Mitzvot and less in Torah, and those who are not connected altogether, but are trying to pick themselves out of the mud and the muck. Just as they're the Aravos without flavor and taste, and the Hadassim with, I'm saying flavor and taste, flavor and fragrance, and the Hadassim with fragrance yet no flavor, and the Lulav, which comes from a date palm, which has, the date palm has taste but not fragrance, and the Esrog has both fragrance and taste. Those are attached to Torah and Mitzvahs properly, those are attached to Torah properly, not necessarily Mitzvahs properly, those are attached to Mitzvahs properly, not necessarily Torah properly, and those are not attached to either. So they have a different compartment in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, in terms of Hashem's providence with them, how you're plugged in, that's the way you're dealt with. The law is all together. We think about the Tsar, the Shekhinah, how many rivers of blood, how many fresh rivers of tears are there now. How many people's lives have been changed irrevocably from this these last few months. If we think in those terms, that will open us up. It will open us up. Our tefillos will be less walk the walk and talk the talk. They will be more heartfelt. They'll be accompanied by tears. We'll mention our own needs as well, but what will open us up is thinking about the Tsar of so many people in Klal Yisrael, the Tsar that is found in heaven, the Tsar of the Shekhinah, Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Misroi. So, we must hold on to our brotherhood. Remember the Machzis of Shekel. As Parsha Shkolim comes, remember the other half of Shekel means I'm not whole without another Jew. And remember the Orach Chaim's Machzis Shekel. That I'm not whole if my life is revolving around only the here and the now, in the mundane universe. I have to know that my other half of Shekel, my other half is upstairs underneath the Kisei Kavod. Tein Hashem, that we'll open up our hearts and daven that Hashem should maintain our aliyah, not just the people who are covered with tattoos from toe to nose, right? But that we, right, who are more observant than they, we all should awaken and rise up upon the ladder that takes us from the Beis HaMikdash Shalmata, the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala. We should rise. We should not just observe. And Hashem will give us the strength to maintain our rise, and will give those who are less fortunate in terms of the Jewish education they have, but they're struggling to rise, Hashem should give them that strength. Those who would want to destroy Klal Yisrael from the outside should be totally obliterated. And those from the inside who would like to lead Klal Yisrael astray in terms of their brotherhood and in terms of their attachment to their Father in heaven, may they be subdued. May they be shamed. May Hashem show how empty and worthless and much more than that, how deadly and pernicious is their view. May they not lead any more people astray, lehefech, on the contrary. May be any people who have been previously following their morbid lead detach themselves from them. And may we see, Be'ezer Hashem, speedily, the drying up of that river, that Rav Yitzchak of Vorka, standing next to the river of tears in Shamayim. Instead, the tenor should be replaced with Az Yamalei Schok Pinu. Ulshonena Rina. We should see the Geula B'Meher V'Yameinu. Amen. Okay. Have a great Parsha Shkolim, a great benching of Rosh Chodesh, a great Rosh Chodesh, yeah, other Sheni. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should see the Gula Shleima of Meher V'Yameinu. Amen.